2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Bold Calls for January 15, 2019. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. Joining me is Shy, Mr. Bear here. What's up, brother?
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Finally got little man to sleep. It was looking like a pretty decent night last night. And then I went to bed and it all kind of fell apart. So I came back with about half of my entries. I didn't even look to see exactly what happened in the late slates. I would assume that my good lineups were too good without AD and didn't have that extra oomph to push them over the edge. So that's what I would assume. I'm going to have to go back and look. I haven't been able to do that yet, but it's a new day. That's why they call it daily fantasy.
That's right.
You get to move on to the next day.
That's right.
So not quite so much the massive Uber chalk dictating lineup and roster construction today, so that's a good thing. And
better than yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and we've got some drama that's probably going to end up happening today too. And if you don't know what I mean by that, basically we've got Jimmy Butler facing off against Cat and Wiggins. We got Dennis Schroeder going back to Atlanta. It's going to be an interesting situation, indeed.
Yeah, there's even more that we'll get into too in terms of narratives, and I just think we got to be careful with some of these narratives. Some of these are not, as cut and dry, put it that way. But yeah. we'll get into details here soon.
Yep, exactly. So as I try to get my mic where it needs to be here. Yeah, it's one of those things that we're going to have to kind of dive in and dig through. So,
yeah.
All right, let's get to it, shall we?
Yep.
Awesome. Point guards today. Russell Westbrook versus Atlanta. Obviously, he's got the best matchup on the board. He's the most expensive guy on the board as well, and for good reason. I don't think, like, you have to fade him. I don't think you have to play him, though, either. He's one of those guys that we know can go for 65-70. If this game stays close, which the way that the Thunder have been playing lately, that's kind of telling you that it's going to stay close. If the Thunder team that comes out like they should, this shouldn't be as close. And I'm more willing to kind of go to other pieces of this game rather than Russ. I'll have some Russ, but I'm not like, it's not like a, oh my God, I have to play him type of situation. You know?
No, it's definitely not. But at the same time, it's going to be hard for me not to. I get he's the most expensive at 12K on FanDuel, but I mean, this matchup is just—it's too hard to pass on, man. I mean, you've got Ben Simmons, you've got Steph Curry in terms of the point guard spot, but as far as like the only guy in this spot that has 70 plus potential, it's Russ. I mean, Simmons can maybe get there, but. I like Simmons a little more, maybe with somebody missing. which they don't have. So my only semi-hesitation is that we talk about revenge and we talk about Schroeder going back to Atlanta, is that they kind of give Schroeder the ball and say, go, you know, do what you want against your old team kind of thing. But outside of that, man, I mean, no. I can't pass on it.
Yeah. It's... I can't, but, like, I also can't play Ben Simmons and Steph Curry together in the same lineup if I play Russ. So It's just, you know, he's in the player pool. He's a part of the discussion. He's not in a bad matchup, obviously. I don't have any problems with it. It's just, you know, how are you going to construct your lineup around him? And that's always the question. You know, there's other guys that I want that are a little bit cheaper that I feel can have the same upside possibly. And unless some value opens up that I absolutely love, you know, I'm not going to force him into my lineups. But I will, like I said, have exposure to him. Most of my exposure is actually coming on DK, where he's 11-4. So, 11-6. So it's a little bit tougher or easier to swallow over there. And guys, I mean, obviously I'm a Thunder fan. I love Russ. I paid 13.5, 14K for him. And I have no problems with it. It's just, you know, he's not, there's so many point guards that I want exposure to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pair them all with Russ.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, I don't want anybody to say, you didn't like Russ today. No, I do. I love him. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is my roster construction right now, currently on FanDuel, most of my lineups do not have Russell Westbrook. Because I have this next guy I'm going to talk about. Okay. Steph Curry. Look, I mean, I'm not one to kind of go and chase a 48-point game, but it is Steph, and he is getting Jamal Murray defense, which isn't the greatest, but I honestly don't have any issues with going back to the well here. Am I expecting another, you know, 48-point game? No. But, you know, 30 to 35 with, you know, seven or eight assists, six rebounds, maybe a steal. That's a pretty good day for me.
It is. And you talk about, this being a game where both teams are kind of like, okay, well, you know, we're the top of the West. We're still the best team from Golden State's perspective. And then Denver's like, this is our West now. I mean, because they are at the top. I think this is going to be one of those games where both teams are really going to give everything they have in this game because of that exact reason. And there's so many pieces from this game that I also love. There's about three games here that I just wish I could stack all three. But you know, I can't get enough players from all three of them. So, you know, within different builds, I'm going to probably have two games each and stack both of them. But yeah, I mean, I it's going to be hard for me not to play Steph. It's going to be hard for me not to play Draymond. It's going to be hard for me not to play Jokic, even Jamal Murray. I mean, there's a lot from this game, from this pace. Like I said, from this, you know, let's prove that we are the best in the West mentality going into this game, there's a lot that I'm gonna love.
Yeah, it's I love this game. It's in my opinion the marquee matchup of the night, and there isn't anything that I'm gonna be worried about, you know, tackling.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of ancillary pieces in this game as well. So.
Absolutely.
Trying to think here. Jeff Teague is, he went through shoot around this morning. He was questionable. Then he was, you know, listed as doubtful. Then he went through shoot around. Now he's questionable again. Derrick Rose says that he's going to play. I don't usually have any problems attacking the guards here against Philly, but I just, with everybody back,
yeah,
and no real discount anywhere,
right?
I don't know what I can really do.
On FanDuel, Teague is pretty discounted at 6,400. That's really cheap.
But with Rose back?
Well, first we got to see if Teague even plays.
That's true.
We don't even know. But as far as... so we'll have to see. I mean, frankly, they might both miss, even though Rose says he's going to play. But, you know, you might even have, you know, some room for like a Tyus Jones. So we'll see, although he's still priced pretty high. So we'll have to see, you know, what ends up happening. The good news is, I think that game is pretty early. Yeah, it's one of the earlier games. So we should be able to get information before. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's the first game. Hopefully we do get all that word, and hopefully it's not one of those Tyus Jones situations where, you know, Teague is ruled out, then we you know, go one way and that was just a bad night. So any interest in I want to talk about this real quick. Your boys here have, and I'm not harping on you or going hard on you, so I don't want you to think I am. I'm trying to talk through this here in a game theory perspective and aspect. Your boys have lost to the Knicks. They've lost to the Cavs. They now get the Bulls at home. Mm-hmm. Right? They've got to, I don't want to say that Walton is coaching for his job, but they have got to show some sort of fight, and it's which team is going to show up. Now, I'm a firm believer is that I didn't expect a lot from all these guys with LeBron out and Rondo out. Like, if it's just LeBron and Rondo can kind of run everything and navigate the offense, you know, I would expect a lot more from them. But right now, literally nobody knows their role. And they're playing a role right now, and that role is probably going to change here in about another 2 to 3 games anyways when LeBron does come back. So now it's kind of like, you know, how do they react after a couple days off, after losing to the Cavs at home? It's, I think the athlete, the former athlete in me, the fighter in me, the competitor in me would think that I would come out like my hair on fire, which means that I want Josh Hart, I want Brandon Ingram, I want Lonzo Ball, I want Kyle Kuzma, I want these guys sprinkled throughout lineups. But when I'm talking about 20-21 year old kids who are living the life, I don't know if they feel the same way or if all of them feel the same way. I think some might. I don't know about all of them. And the reason I ask that is Chris Dunn is a really, really good defender. I really kind of want to ping pong him and Lonzo Ball in a couple lineups. I'm just not sure if that's such a smart move with the way that, you know, with the way that they're playing right now, especially at home and playing down to their competition.
Well, Dunn's defense, I don't think will really be that relevant because Lonzo, you don't need him to score to put up points.
You think he can still facilitate?
Well, we've seen it. I mean, yeah, they've lost, but even in those games that he's lost, the Lakers have lost, he's still put up numbers. You know, last game they lost and he put up like damn near 40. You know, so granted that was against the Cavs, but still, I mean, I think for me, this game is one where I'm going to have several different iterations of a stack. You know, believe me, these kids, and they are kids, but guys like Hart and Kuzma, they're like 24. They're not like 20, 21 like Lonzo and Ingram are. And Ingram's 21, but he's been in the league for 4 years or three or whatever. So he's been around. Lonzo's the only one that still kind of hasn't played a full NBA season yet with the games that he's missed. And he is still really young. But they all still are on Twitter all the time. They see what's being said about them. They see what the news is saying about, you know, Coach Walton, you know, coaching for his job. And make no mistake, the young players, they love Luke. I mean, you know, you say what you will about the veterans. That's a different story. You know, what LeBron thinks about him, what maybe Rondo or maybe anyone else. But the young guys love him because he's young himself. He's a player's coach, as they say. So, you know, if they think that what their performance is going to in any way, you know, affect Luke being the coach, I see a game where they really wake up. They got that loss was embarrassing. There's no excuse for losing to the Cavs. I don't care who's missing. There's no excuse. This is a team that, you know, yeah, they're missing their two veterans and they're missing their best player, but so what? You know, it's the Cavs. And the Cavs have been in a lot of games all year, even against really good teams, but they've been losing those games. And I think tonight is where we see both of these teams come out and just put up 130 points apiece or so. And I want a lot of that. Just like last night's Pelicans Clippers. Like I had a lot of that game, and I'm going to have a lot of this game too.
Yep, I would agree with you there. Is there any sort of like restrictions that you would put on these guys? Like okay, so to give you an idea and about what I'm talking about is yesterday we talked about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward, and how you should not play Hayward with one of the other two or both of the other two. And mm-hmm. we saw it kind of play out exactly like last night. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum both went off, really kind of hurt into Terry Rozier a little bit, which we will talk on here in just a second when it gets back to a chalky guy that we'll talk about in the next position. But with this... Like, who am I pairing Lonzo up with? Can I pair him up with any of them? Or can I just, or do, is one going to take away from another here? And I'm asking you because you watch more Laker games than I do.
Yeah, if anything, it's going to be taken away from Ingram. So I wouldn't play Lonzo and Ingram. I prefer playing like Lonzo and Kuzma or Ingram and Kuzma. And Hart is one of those guys that you can plug him in no matter what because he hits his threes, he gets rebounds, he gets steals, he gets blocks. Like, he'll do that no matter who, you know, is going off. But, so I probably wouldn't shy away from pairing up those guys, particularly in a game where, like I said, there's going to be a lot of points scored and there's going to be very minimal defense on both sides, with the exception of Dunn and Lonzo and Hart. But even then, in a game that's so fast-paced, guys are still going to get their points. So I'm not too concerned.
Okay. Anybody else a point guard?
Yeah, I mean, the only guy I'm considering way down here at the bottom is maybe like a Corey Joseph. Obviously, I don't like his ceiling very much, but Suns, you know, he's probably going to play at least 25 minutes, if not more, depending on kind of the flow of the game. He's kind of the only guy I would consider at the lower tier.
Yeah, I might consider... in that mid-range a little bit, some Jeremy Lin. I kind of think that he's playing for his next team right now. It's getting to be We're about, what, 3 weeks away? Trade deadline is February 7th, and that would mean we are 3 weeks away from the trade deadline.
Well, before you continue, though, Lynn is doubtful, so I'm not sure Lynn did right today.
This is what happens when you have a 2-year-old. Okay. Well, if Lynn were to play, then I would have had interest in him. If not, then there will be another guy that I have interest
in. Sure.
So, move on to shooting guard, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Victor Oladipo, top guy of the night. You know, he's got the best, let's just call it for what it is, best matchup on the board. He gets the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, and the thing about him is that it's weird because he got into a little groove and then seems like he fell right back out of that groove. So he's definitely like a boom or bust type of play, so epitome of GPP. So if you're going to put him in tournaments, great. If not, then no.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. If you're playing Victor Oladipo, I think that you probably should pair him up with Devin Booker. Because you're going to need somebody from the Suns in order to get the ceiling games out of him. You're going to need somebody from the Suns to kind of bring it back. So yeah. I really do like that pairing. It obviously not core pairings, but I do like that pairing.
Yeah, I mean, I like the pairing too. I don't know if I could play much Booker for a couple of reasons. First one being, you know, when it comes to back or hamstring or both stiffness or tightness or whatever, you just never know when it pops up, especially when you're in an NBA game here. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of contact at any second. It can tighten up again. And that's concerning for me. And it's happened, you know, a lot over the last couple of weeks or a month even for him. And then the second reason is he's probably going to be facing a lot of Oladipo, which, look, Booker can still get his shots off and he can still get his points in. But Oladipo somewhat limits that. And they've got, you know, other guys on the team now that are putting up points. And so, I don't know, I might want to play some guys off of Booker instead, if I'm going to be running it back with some Suns, you know, like you can look at like a TJ Warren, you can look at an Ayton, you know, you can look at a Melton, you can look at some of the other plays around, you can even look at Oubre potentially in tournaments. But I'm a little bit concerned that Oladipo kind of limits that true ceiling that we want to see from Book.
Okay. Okay. All right. 8,200. FanDuel. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, man.
I'm
so
out.
Here's what most people are going to do. They're going to look at their shooting guards. They're going to say, okay, Jimmy Butler. Oh, he's playing who? I'm in. Not so much the matchup. Not so much his role with the team. Not so much anything else outside of, oh, he's playing the Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, so here's the thing. I don't think you should completely take him out because Jimmy is one of the more spiteful, petty guys in the league, and we have a lot of those in this league.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, he can come in there and just say, I'm dominating. I don't care who gets mad. I'm beating these guys up. It's possible. I mean, it's very possible. So for that reason, I don't want to completely, you know, kind of fade. But I'm not going to have as much as the field will. Because, again, you've got Embiid there. You've got Simmons there. You still have Redick there. And he's really not the facilitator. He's really not the main scorer. He's really their, you know, kind of veteran slash lockdown defender. That's not going to put up fantasy points.
He's a glorified 3-and-D.
Yeah, a very expensive one.
Yes, right now. Now, can he go off and get his? Yes, absolutely. But that's not to be... that's not to be one that this guy right here is going to be a lot on. I usually don't mind playing narratives. I don't... But when it's as amplified as this, I think I'm going to go the other way on this one. I think I would much, much rather try to go other options. And there is too much value that I like under 7K at the position on FanDuel. That I want to play, and it's just I'm not going to be able to play him and actually justify his salary today.
I'm with you there.
So, alrighty, Zach LaVine versus your Lakers. I almost thought this was too easy of a play, and then I'm sitting here thinking, and I can't get off of it. I'm not one to normally play a lot of Zach LaVine, but I love Zach LaVine tonight.
He's in pretty much every lineup for me.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah, pretty much every lineup. So a couple of reasons. First of all, I mean, shooting guards versus the Lakers, you just play them and you don't really think too much. Second of all, which is odd because one of their top defenders is at the shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we need to look at. I don't think that will be the case today. There will be a lineup change to the Lakers starting lineup today.
You think so?
Yes.
What do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be KCP for Hart.
Get more shooting in the first unit? Yeah, I can see that, and I don't think it has anything to do with his defense at all.
It doesn't. He can't score. He's been breaking up shot after shot after shot after shot. He's still shooting, which I'm happy that he's still shooting. But
shoot again to shoot.
But if they're not going to fall, you got to make changes.
Yeah, it's he can get hot, and he can have his good games, but he's not the reliable shooter that you can count on. KCP has proven that he can still shoot,
mm-hmm.
and he's more consistent.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I actually wish KCP was in a Thunder uniform, to be completely honest. So
I think a lot of teams would like that. A guy that can shoot the long ball, a guy that can play significantly good defense.
Expiring contract, 3-and-D, boom.
The issue with him is, you know, and I hear this from a lot of guys locally here, he's not very well liked from his teammates.
Well, in fairness to him right now, besides LeBron and Rondo and Lance Stevenson, he's got a bunch of kids on that team.
Well, even before that, it was more along. So first of all, when he signed here, he knew who was on the team.
Right.
Like when he signed here, that was even before there were any veterans on the team. So that's what you came into. That's
right.
First of all.
I'm not saying that it's not his fault.
It's more along the lines of he really just wants to get his shots off. As good of a defender as he is, he's not really playing the same kind of defense that he can. I don't think it's because he can't. I think he doesn't want to.
You think he wants out?
I don't know that he wants out. I think he wants to stop hearing that he's going to be out. I mean, he's always – every single potential trade rumor is it's his name first.
He wants a decision made one way or the other.
Yeah, I think he just or he wants more of a role, which I understand. But why did it turn down, you know, $100 million or whatever it was from the Pistons? So you would have been the man there too, with a lot more money. But no, here nor there. Specific to tonight, if he is inserted back into the starting lineup at his price, no brainer. And the good thing is, guys, we're not going to know until way after lock. So for you FanDuel people that are playing, you can play LaVine and KCP both, and nobody will be on KCP because no one really understands that he might actually be in the starting lineup today.
Yep. I'll agree with that. And I will second that motion and put that stamp on it and go with it. So, all right, let's talk about Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
For all of the Jimmy Butler guy, like, how many Jimmy Butler, Dennis Schroeder lineups do you think we're going to see today on FanDuel?
A boatload.
Yeah.
A boatload.
Guys, I'm not playing Dennis Schroeder again tonight. Like,
amazing to hear.
My Dennis Schroeder love has to be at lower ownership unless Russ or Paul George are out.
I get it. I do. I get it.
You're not going to get me to play a chalk Dennis Schroeder with a revenge narrative. I don't care what. And it could bite me because this game could get out of hand quick and he could get all the, you know, fourth quarter burn and just chuck it, you know, say, yeah, F it and go to town.
Quite possible.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, if this game is within 8.5, which is what Vegas says the spread is going to be, Dennis Schroeder is not going to pay off his ownership with his salary. I don't believe. It's going to be Paul George. It's going to be Jeremy Grant. It's going to be Steven Adams. And it's going to be Russell Westbrook. Okay. Now, is Schroeder going to play a significant role? Yes. But is he going to produce the fantasy production that I need at a chalkier ownership on a 6-game slate in order to make him, to allow me fading him to hurt me? And I think the answer is no.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, because the only scenario where you're going to get what you want is, you know, like you said, the game being out of hand and he gets all the fourth quarter runs. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and like, I'm sitting here, thinking, like, the Thunder have not played well lately. Yeah, they beat the Spurs at home. You know, each got their home and home. But overall, they just haven't – they have not been clicking. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that shots haven't been falling that much anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
as Russ's shots have – as his shooting percentage is starting to get better, everybody else has – started to kind of fall off a little bit, which we expect. It's kind of how the ebbs and flows of a season goes. Nobody's going to shoot lights out all season long. You're going to go through stretches where you struggle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's so their defense is, it struggles more on the road than it does at home. I just, especially with the Hawks, the way that they're playing lately, like, can you remember the last time the Hawks absolutely just got blown out? I mean, even being down 20 to Boston, like, they came back and they made that a game at one point.
Yeah, they did.
So, like, I don't foresee Boston, or I don't foresee Oklahoma City just going in there and blowing them out. Do they have the capability to? Yes, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, and I mean, look at some of these teams that, like, the Hawks have been right there with. I mean, they've been doing really, really well. They really have. And I think that a lot of that is, you know, the team ball that they're playing. A lot of that – I'm going to give a guy props here. DeAndre Bembry is really, really doing big things for the Hawks right now, ever since he's gotten to the starting lineup. And then you've got – I'm going to pronounce his name right. Herder.
Kevin Huter.
Who
Huter.
Has just been Huerter. That's the R that just throws me off.
Yeah.
That kid can shoot, and he's a problem for teams because they don't really know him. And, you know, they kind of look at him and kind of like, ah, yeah, this guy. And next thing you know, he's got 6 threes.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah. And you add in there, Taurean Prince might be back tonight. You've got Deadman, who's, I believe, questionable still. You know, you've got Alex Lynn. You got John Collins. I mean, you've got, obviously, my boy Trae Young. And, you know, Baze isn't even back yet. Like, right. this young team has some good talent, and they are headed, they're not a good team right now, but they are headed in the right direction, I believe. I mean, come on, they lost by 3 to the Raptors in Toronto. Right. You know, okay, so the last game that, like, a lot of their blowouts have been on the, it was, Milwaukee was the last game they got absolutely just blown out of the building for. And I'm not even talking about the last Milwaukee game. I'm talking about the one in Milwaukee, like where it was 144 to 112.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
They beat the Heat by 24. They lost by 3 to the Raptors. They lost by 16 to the Nets, but. They come right back, you know, 2 days later, and they beat the Sixers in Philadelphia. Like, this game is not going to be blowing out, in my opinion. So
I don't agree with you there.
All right. Andrew Wiggins, any interest there?
You know what I think is, because we're going to get asked a lot about this. And I think we're going to end up seeing, like, a lot of Jimmy Butler on Wiggins.
I think so, too.
But I think we'll end up seeing a lot of. So, having said that, got to be a little more cautious. You know, what I do like a lot is I do like how much Wiggins has kind of upped his game since, you know, Thibodeau was relieved. I do like that a lot. What I don't like as much is I don't like, you know, I know that him and Wiggins, or Butler and Wiggins, and Wiggins and, or excuse me, Butler and Cat had their issues. But like I said, I'm not going to play Butler because he's not going to be the 55 point scorer, but he's going to be like, I'm getting in your face now. And, you know, it's a concern.
Yeah. Yeah. Wiggins has shown a little bit of emotion lately. He's shown some fight. It's just, I don't play Andrew Wiggins, and then you tell me that there's going to be a possibility he's going to see a ton of Jimmy Butler on him with a purpose. Like,
yeah,
right. Yeah, nope. I'll let everybody else chase that.
Exactly.
Malcolm Brogdon against Miami. I don't typically like playing guards against Miami, let alone, like, backup point guards / shooting guards.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to love at this position. My guy, like I said, my guy's Zach LaVine, and then I'm going to, like, interject a little bit of Clay, Kevin Huerter, KCP, and guys, okay. I want to throw this out here because I'm going to get asked a couple times. Please don't chase the Terrence Ferguson game. Okay. Yes, he has been shooting a lot better this month, but please don't chase the Terrence Ferguson game. Let him get one out of his system after the big game before you go back and you chase it again. Actually, wait, didn't he just get one out of the system? I thought. Let's looking. I'm looking. Efforting. Oh, crud. Oh, well. No, he's kind of... okay, so that game against San Antonio, he went like, what was it, 6-for-7 from three? Or maybe it was 7-for-9?
Something like that.
You want to know what you want to know what his total fantasy point output was?
Wait, how many raw points did he score?
Yeah, he scored 21 real life points.
So what did he put up, 23?
21.2. he had a rebound and a turnover.
Nice.
That's Andre Robertson stat line, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, no, it's not. Because Robertson doesn't
shoot
count
like
on
that.
Yeah, he doesn't. No. Okay, so he's been shooting very, very well this month. Okay, yeah. I don't want to, but with that said, don't do it. Like, he's a high minute drop score candidate that you're hoping gets like a 7.
Yeah.
Or he goes off for 25. So that's what you're getting out of there. So. I would much rather play KCP.
Center, yeah.
Any interest in Deion Waiters tonight? Not playing
a tad
enough
bit,
minutes.
Man. A tad bit, yeah. The minutes is tough. It's really, I mean, you've got Wade there. You've got, you know, Derek Jones Jr., who's been playing well and getting minutes. And then you've got Waiters. And then you've got Tyler Johnson. I mean, there's a lot of, it's... Spo is really difficult to figure out his rotations.
Unless your name is Justice Winslow or Josh Richardson, be prepared because you might not play
it's true.
The role that you thought you were going to play going into the game.
Like last week, there was a Heat-Celtics game. And everyone was like, oh, you know, Kelly Olynyk, his old team. And we played him and he barely got to see the court. And
played
then I remember,
6 minutes.
And I saw the interview after the game, and he's like, I'm really, really hurt or upset or whatever for KO, as he calls him, because, you know, this is his old team. And so he wanted to play him, but he didn't. So it's like, I don't.
It's like he forgot to call his name.
I don't know what it is, man. It's all game flow and all situational matchup, of course, but he only gave him those 6 minutes because it was against his old team.
Yeah, so it's watch Kelly O be the guy tonight. So, alrighty, let's go to small forwards here. Giannis, obviously the top guy on the board, but can you get away with him with not playing him?
Have you seen what he's done against Miami?
Yes, I have. I know the history. That's why I asked the question. Can you get away with not playing him?
I'll have zero.
Durant against Denver and Paul George against Atlanta. These are probably where I would be going. One, they're cheaper. Two, it's just... they got better matchups. They've got better... it's just
better prices.
Better prices. It's just
better totals. Better pace.
Yeah.
Better flow. I mean, you can even go Bembry for half the price. Who I really like tonight. I just do. I mean, I don't have any reason for it. I mean, I do, but I just like his upside, and he's playing a team that has some of the higher turnovers in the Thunder. And that means steals for him. So, and he's a steals machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got that upside there. And, you know, they're at home and the Thunder struggle on the road. And there's just a lot that I like about him in this game. He's been playing over 30 minutes every single game. And, yeah, I get that Torian Prince is back. But they limited him to like 10 minutes last game, and he probably won't get more than 15 minutes this game, which is pretty much Bembry's rest minutes. So I'm not so concerned about it. With Lin out, you know, Bembry plays the guard too a lot. So not too concerned there. But yeah, for me, if I'm picking one in cash, it's going to be George. But I think in tournaments, I like going Durant.
Okay.
Probably not going to pair with Steph, although you certainly can. They both have 55 potential together. We've seen it before. But it's going to be tough to pay, you know, 20K for both of those guys.
Yeah, I'd much rather mix it up and go like a Steph George combo or a Russ Durant combo, kind of like that. Right. You know, kind of.
What a combo that is, huh?
What's that?
What a combo that is.
I didn't even realize I said it like that, but yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I like Bembry too. Let's talk about. We talked a little bit about Brandon Ingram already. Let's talk about this little three man trio in here: Brandon Ingram, Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson. Richardson has really struggled over the last 2 weeks or so. He has not really done what I expected him to do this year.
Which one are we talking about?
Josh Richardson. Yeah. You know, he had a good game against Memphis. But he's not asserting himself recently like he was at the beginning of the season. And being that guy. Not that he's not capable of being the guy. It's just that he's playing more team ball. And where that works well for the team, I don't think that I like it for DFS. Plus, he's going to have a lot of attention on the defensive end with Giannis, if Giannis plays. But I think he's going to play. So I think my favorite in this little three-man is going to be Ingram and Justice Winslow.
Yeah, it's probably going to have to be more towards Ingram because I look at the defense on both sides, and the matchup is just better for Brandon. So, like, that's kind of how I have to look at it. Plus, I look at the minutes, and Ingram plays heavier minutes. And with Dunn likely spending most of his time on once a ball, that means Ingram is going to produce more and facilitate more and get to the basket more and have more opportunities. So, like I said before, don't pair him with Lonzo. But in lineups where you don't have Lonzo, you can play Ingram comfortably.
Okay. Got to pay attention to Will Barton and Gary Harris, that situation there. Gary Harris was out last. Will Barton played, I think, 17 minutes. These guys are priced down, but they're not playing a ton of minutes right now, as they shouldn't. I don't care if this is a big game. Mike Malone is not going to cave into the emotion tonight. So I'm not really going there, even though I do think that they could produce. I'm just not willing to take a chance on them in my lineups. Same kind of goes with Torian Prince. If he's back tonight, I don't see him playing more than about 20 minutes. That's some value right there in the 5K range that I'm probably not going to be playing a lot of. Other than that, you've got guys like Derek Jones Jr. You got guys like Wilson Chandler that are going to play you're around 20 minutes or so. Mikal Bridges is under 4K, and he's going to play close to 25 to 30 minutes. I don't mind taking a shot there if you're going to be in a drop score. What? Okay, so we've got TJ Warren, we got Kelly Oubre, we got Bojan Bogdanovic, all there in that same game. I like what you said about Booker earlier, and not playing Booker means I want some exposure. If I'm going to pair him up with Oladipo, means I need some exposure to that Phoenix side. And that TJ Warren or Kelly Oubre paired with like a Durant or a George seems like a pretty enticing combo right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's only if I'm not pairing one of those two up with Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, you mentioned Derek Jones. I still have to... Something about every time he's on the slate. I'm just always looking in that direction and for tournaments, because it just happens so often where he's just not on anybody's radar and he all of a sudden gets 26 minutes and puts up 35 to 45 fantasy points and has these great dunks. And it's just, I'm always looking at him. And the reason why it's tournament only is because he might not even play some games. Mm-hmm. It's Spoelstra. It just depends on kind of what's going on. But his athleticism and his size versus the Bucks, I think they're going to need to utilize a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a guy that can literally jump out of the gym on his left pinky toe blindfolded. So,
yeah, pretty much.
He's just a freak of nature when it comes to the athleticism that he possesses. So. All right, let's move on to the power forwards here. I actually hate this position today.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. So let's get something pretty clear here. If Spellman continues to start, which I believe he is, it's going to be Collins playing the five versus Steven Adams.
Right.
So that, for me, lowers... a lot.
Yes.
But I don't know that that's going to be the case. I don't see how they don't start Len with Deadman doubtful.
Right. I was thinking the same thing.
But, I believe I read something where Spellman is expected to be in the starting lineup. Even if he's not, he's still going to play 25, 28 minutes, Spellman. So he's still... basically minimum price on every site in the industry. So, you can still play him, but it also takes me off of Len. Now, if we see Len is starting, I like Collins a lot more because, the guy is basically putting up numbers every night he plays. And if this game stays close like we expect it to, Collins is doing a lot of the work down low for them. He can get up 18 rebounds this game. So, most of those off of Westbrook's missed shots. So I had to put that in there for you. But yeah, I mean, that's, it's one of those where we're going to have to wait and see, what the Hawks do with their starters.
Yep, absolutely. We should know before lock, but there's a possibility that we don't. These guys are going to be on everybody's lists. Draymond, Kuzma, Domantas Sabonis. I mean, we're kind of giving you an idea of how you should handle the Collins situation, depending on what happens and obviously who starts, that's going to depend on how much we actually do like him because of the matchup. I love Lauri Markkanen tonight. I think that he's a great option. I love pairing him up with Kuzma. I just don't know how much, I'm trying to figure out a way to get away from the pairing. And the only thing that I can think of is swapping out Kuzma for like a Draymond.
Yeah, and they're both pretty much $100 difference. So pretty much the same price. And that's where I'm kind of on the fence. But again, I go back to matchup. I go back to game totals. I go back to, defense. The total is significantly higher for the Golden State Denver game. But the defenses are better in that game. So it's, they're going to need a lot of Draymond to do the non-scoring duty. And if he happens to score, it's even more. Kuzma has to score to get there. But, in terms of if ever a team to score against, it's the Bulls. I don't mind kind of sprinkling in both pretty evenly. I'm happy with both. So,
yep. Devin Booker's back, so Josh Jackson kind of takes a little bit of a hit here at 5,400. Same price. I'd much rather play Jeremy Grant. I think everybody else is going to feel the same way. I don't know, man. This is just, I mean, Rashawn Holmes night. He's not cheap anymore. He's 4,600.
He's not cheap. And by the way, they just signed Quincy Acey, who played like 8 minutes last game. So that's a little bit concerning. Holmes will still play, but of course, I was trying to give us information and hopefully keep it quiet. Now we just got a tweet saying Coach Walton lucky to make a change to the Lakers starting lineup on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
There's no way it's not KCP for Hart. There's no way. There's nobody. I mean, Beasley? I don't know. Maybe.
Stevenson for Ingram?
I doubt that. Highly doubt that.
Or even Stevenson for Hart.
Put it's him also at possible. The two. Yeah, no, another playmaker. Sure. It could be, but it's going to be KCP.
Oh, I completely. I'm just throwing there's things out
no
there.
No other way. I don't think there's any other way it can go, really.
So, any Dario Saric love?
No.
Taj Gibson?
No.
Any love down here at the bottom?
I want to say no, but let me continue to look here. A little bit. So I think,
outside of Spellman, by the way.
Yeah. I think there's a couple guys that I'm interested in. First of all, I'm interested a little bit in Bam Adebayo versus Milwaukee.
At 5,400?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is Whiteside playing?
He's probable, but it's not even about whether he's playing or not. Whiteside can't hang in this game.
Okay.
I don't think Whiteside gets more than 20 minutes here. Versus Lopez. Adebayo will get those minutes. There's a guy that I like even more for even cheaper, and that's going to be James Johnson.
I was hoping that you would save that one.
Well, you gotta ask me to save it.
I know, but you know we're supposed to have this like mind meld thing going on.
Yeah,
we're just off today. It's been a weird week, man. It's been a really weird last 4 or 5 days. Anyways, go ahead and talk about James Johnson.
So James Johnson is the exact kind of guy that the Heat need in this game. James Johnson is going to be projected for about 20 minutes across optimizers across the industry. I think he plays closer to 28. You're going to see him at like 1%. I probably should have kept it to our VIPs, but the cat's out the bag. But I really, really like that play.
I just wrote it down. Let's move on to centers here. Carl Anthony Towns at 11-2 against Joel Embiid. No thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Plus, I think it'll be really chalk as well. Again, going against Jimmy Butler, I'm not paying that either.
Yeah, not when I can pay a Nikola Jokic or a Joel Embiid for $100 less.
Exactly.
So I'm out on that one. DeAndre Ayton.
I like it.
I do too. I like it even more if Miles Turner is somehow ruled out again. I'm not saying that he's going to, guys, everybody chill. I'm just saying if, because we have seen it recently, if he is, then I would like it even more and we get news. I also like the other end of that, and I like Miles Turner. You know, he hasn't had one of his 40-point outbursts in a while, and I think it's about time.
Well, he's got to play first, right? So,
oh no, I agree.
So he's been out with a shoulder, and then before that, he had a broken nose. So we got to see. But if he comes back, I love that play.
Trying to look and see if he's more on the probable side or the questionable. Miles Turner is questionable. It's not even with the nose. It's with the short right shoulder. So, there's everybody's questionable at 6 o'clock. Jeez. Okay, so anyways. Yeah, if he plays, I do like that. Like you said, Hassan Whiteside, about 24 minutes. Steven Adams, any interest?
Yeah, a little bit. I think he's probably your cash center. You know what you're going to get out of him with some upside, but a really, really solid floor. You're not worrying about him putting up a 12, something like that. So, yeah, I think it's should be your cast center.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about him. Like I said, the only question in this game is if he gets out of hand. But whoever they throw out at him, he should be able to handle it. Mm-hmm. So, we went over the Alex Len situation. Talk to us about the centers there in Lakerland. JaVale McGee, Ibaka Zubac. They're going to play around 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes. Or four, butcher sorry. That name. Ibaka Zubac?
You butchered that kid's name.
What is it?
It's Ivica Zubac, but it's not. I don't know what the hell you said. That's fine.
I didn't know it was Ivica. I thought it was Ibaka. Maybe no, that's the female version of it. Not saying I'm not calling him a girl. That's not what I'm doing. Hold your horses. Just saying that, you know, maybe I pronounced it wrong. Like they do in Germany. Like instead of Michelle, it's Michelle, which is a boy's name. You know? Okay, I just butchered it. Call it what it is. I like the way that Ivica Zubac just runs right off the tongue though.
All right. Yeah, I call him Zoo. Zubac.
So
Zubac and Zubacalypse. Zublaka.
So, they're gonna play
the
about
next profit.
So they're gonna play around 40, 42 minutes or so because they are gonna go small with Kuzma or like somebody else is gonna eat the rest of those minutes. I don't know if I can play them. I don't like particularly on FanDuel making my center a drop score candidate. I like playing cheap centers when I know they're going to get minutes.
Yeah,
we know that if he gets around 22 minutes that he can go nuts. I just don't know if he's going to get 22 minutes.
I don't see either. So the three of them basically share. And, with Chandler being, at least currently, being the least, in terms of how many minutes he plays. I don't know. I don't think you can play any of them DFS. If the numbers go down, the price rather goes down, maybe. But right now, McGee is 5,900. It's not bad, and he will play the most out of the three. In a really good matchup, and he can certainly hit his 35, but that's pretty much all you're going to get in 24 minutes, So it's going to be tough for me to do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pay up, or it's an Alex Lende for me.
Oh boy.
And it just depends on, like, if Len is starting, I'm not touching him. But
if Len is starting?
If Len is starting, yeah. But if he's coming off the bench and Deadman's out and they put John Collins at the five with Spellman at the four, then I'm going to have a little bit of interest in Alex Len because he's going to be facing up with a lot of Jeremy Grant, Patrick Patterson. So I like that matchup a lot better, and for 4,300, I can go there.
Yeah,
but that's only if he's not starting. He has to come off the bench in that scenario, and it's only in GPPs where I'm making multiple lineups.
I can see that. So former Laker beat writer, now Laker analyst for Spectrum Sportsnet, Mike Bresnahan just said Walton wasn't ready to disclose any lineups changes, but said there would likely be at least one tonight versus Chicago. We know who it is.
The question is, you know, who, if it becomes more than one.
Well, I think it's not. He's not going to sit Lonzo. He's not. You know, the only possible thing is he might do like a Zubats for McGee. It's possible. He's given him playing time. He's Zoo has done really well in those times.
And he's energy. He's
energy. He's a shot blocker. Cleans up really well down low. It's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's possible. I don't see any of the issues being with JaVale. So I'm not sure why JaVale will be the one to sit. So, he's actually playing well. So, who's not playing well? It's really hard. Let me clarify. He's been playing well on one side of the ball.
Yeah, who's not playing well on the offensive side of the ball is Josh Hart.
It's Josh Hart.
Yeah,
and frankly, it's also been Ingram. Ingram hasn't been playing well offensively either. So it's either he wakes up. We'll see what happens, man. I I'm pretty convinced it's going to be KCP for Hart. So
there you go.
I'll keep looking. I'll keep reading and whatever, but we'll see.
All righty. Anything else before we get out?
There was something else here that I looked at in the centers. No, that's up.
All righty. That's going to do it for us today, guys. For myself, for Bear, for the DFS Army, we gone.
No.